Hey folks, Travis here. This is False. How you doing? We doing okay out there? We surviving? Are we do we have Omicron? I don't know how to say that. Do we have Omicrams? Ampson Crams? Ampersand? Do we have ampersand? I hope you're all staying safe out there. This pretty fucked up world we live in. We're on our own. This episode kind of goes up and down. We talk about Don't Look Up, the Netflix movie written by Adam McKay and David Sirota. Sirota, yeah. And we talk about being on our own during the pandemic and how, like, we've just been left to figure this out now. We no longer have a government that is willing to acknowledge that we need help. We discuss why in Hollywood culture, why not just be Polly? Why not just do that? And then we read some James Joyce, the wonderful author James Joyce. We read some James Joyce on air. Spoiler alert for Don't Look Up, I guess. But like, if you don't know that the comet's gonna hit the Earth, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh my god!
I mean, that's not the spoiler. If you don't know that, okay, you know what? Just listen to the episode, okay? This is False Podcast at protonmail.com. If you want to email us with your complaints, I haven't checked that email in like 4 months, so I don't even know. Thinking out there. Email it though. Totally email us. We're interactive. At This Is False Pod on social media, specifically Instagram. I again haven't gone on Twitter with This Is False in forever. But I mean, you know, maybe I will at some point. Oh god, I hate social media so much.
I check just Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram, I guess. At This Is False Pod. We check it, we post stuff occasionally about whether or not Pizza Pops or Pizza Pockets are better. We'll get into that next episode. Not this one. Fuck it. Okay, just go listen to the episode. This is a 2-minute intro bullshit. That's a lot of whiskey. Holy fuck.
I don't know. You said pour some whiskey.
Whiskey in a crow glass. Fuck yeah.
Yay. Joshy, what I need for you to do is fuck right
off. No. You gotta go lay down over there, bud. Sorry. Go lay down over there. Good boy. Yeah, I want space.
Espace.
I need espace.
Yeah. Espace.
So, Hey, everybody, this is False. I'm your host, Travis Labor.
And I'm
joined by my face. Prestigious other host, Fuckface. I'm going to tell a baseball story. Are you ready?
No.
It's funny.
Okay.
So there are these two brothers that played in Major League Baseball. One of them very famous, Cal Ripken Jr., who like is one of the best shortstops of all time, set the record for most consecutive games played. It's a whole thing. Just be a baseball fan for half a second with me, okay?
I'm totally involved.
And then his brother, Billy Ripken, who also played but was not very good. He played a couple of years and was out. But they both played on the Orioles for a little while. Like, Cal Ripken played his whole career there. Billy Ripken played for a little while. And their dad coached the team at the time. But Billy and Cal had this, like, really funny relationship. And he wrote on the bottom, I think it was Cal that wrote it on the bottom of Billy's bat, fuckface in marker, so that when Billy was holding the bat for his like posed upper deck baseball card, you could clearly see fuckface on the bottom of the bat. But then no one in the card company noticed it, and they put out a card that just had fuckface on the bottom of the baseball bat. And so amazing. And then they caught it like halfway through the year, and they like pulled the set and re-put it out without the fuckface on it. So now there's like a few thousand of these cards that say fuckface on the bottom of the bat. It's actually like pretty rare and like worth a decent amount of money.
So like,
it's like a Billy Ripken card that has fuckface on the bottom of the bat. So I don't know. I find that hilarious.
For fuckface cards?
Yeah, that maybe I'm going to cut that story because it wasn't that good.
Wait, no, it's a good story. But also, I need to move this for.
It's under the chair.
Why am I like this?
I don't know. Evelyn, look what you're doing to the sound wave.
I'm so sorry.
Do you see what's happening?
Hello.
Hi. Now that you can see the waves and you've watched me edit this, you now understand.
I'm so
I've never even really edited this the way I used to edit. The way I used to have to edit when Pam Spanish was a co-host on this show.
Oh, I know, bud.
Oh, shite.
Yeah.
I used to have to edit with such a fine-tooth comb. Like, the episodes would be, like, raw recorded, like, 215 minutes, and I cut them down to an hour and a half.
Oh, it's excessive. I'm so much better.
Uh-huh.
In every way. Anyway.
Some listeners might not agree. We're far enough removed from it now. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I don't care either.
Yeah. Hostile takeover.
No. So, what, we had... What, we had things to talk about today. We had like a laundry list of things.
I got
some.
Okay. I wrote them down.
Oh, fuck yes, you did.
Okay, so first, I'm going to do the thing that I told you not to do. You see, what I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to turn down the volume. So we watched, like everyone has, I'm sure, Don't Look Up, the latest Adam McKay and David Sirota movie. Mm-hmm. So what did you think of Don't Look Up?
I really liked it. It was... Okay, so I've read a lot of shit about it with, you know, people being like, this is like too much, too on the nose, you know, and that's the one thing that everybody keeps saying, right? And liberals are pissed about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's, well, first of all, it's liberals making, liberals are being made fun of in that movie.
Yeah, liberals are the butt of the joke.
Yeah, the obvious movie about climate change and the inaction of liberals.
Yeah.
and the constant, like, misdirection. But it also, one of my things that I really liked about that movie was how they portray conservatives, because it's less like they're stupid and more like they're being led, which is what it should be. You know what I mean?
Well, liberals are too. I think that's the whole point of the movie.
Everybody in that movie is being led.
Yeah. I think it's like, it's very brilliant.
Even the scientists.
I thought it was pretty brilliant because, like, because it's interesting that the media hates it. Mm-hmm. The media hates that movie, which is, like, hilarious to me because the media is the butt of the joke in that movie.
The media is the butt of the joke, yeah. But the other thing is, like, the reason that I'm, like, pointing out the conservatives in particular is because in a lot of those movies, they just make them seem inherently dumb.
Yeah.
And that's incorrect. In fact, the first person to look up is one of those conservatives that's like, hey, wait, we're being lied to.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's interesting.
The first person to look up from within the right wing. And then they start throwing bottles at the... Which I also find interesting that the first people to really get pissed off, always, if you look at...
Working class
when
people?
Those like little riots pop up,
yeah.
They're always just people in the bars, yep. Or the conservatives are like these sort of working class people are the ones that start throwing fucking bottles and lighting shit on fire, which I thought was an interesting...
And maybe some foreshadowing, you know?
Yeah. I also liked that, like, no one in that movie is portrayed as dumb.
No.
Everybody in that movie has at least a moment somewhere where it's like, they understand what's going on. They hit it. It hits them. They feel it.
Yeah.
And then they just have to be like, well, fuck, what are we going to do about it?
But yeah.
Which I think captures perfectly how I think everyone at some point feels. Because, like, there's a comet. It's coming. And we really can't do anything to stop it at this point. The time was... many years ago.
This is why it's like, you know, when I was first watching it, I was like, oh man, this reminds me of Idiocracy. But then in Idiocracy, they are pointing out that there's inherently stupid people, mm-hmm. without pointing out that these are the motivators behind these actions, right? But in Don't Look Up, it's like, nobody's stupid.
Nobody is.
Everybody has stuff to gain, right? And this is why we are misleading everyone and, you know, taking care of our own or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But that's the big flaw with Idiocracy, which I didn't even really think about until, because I hadn't watched it. It hasn't been relevant for me for a while.
Yeah.
But I haven't watched it in a really long time. And then I started thinking about it as we were watching Don't Look Up. And I was like, that's a massive flaw in Idiocracy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and you pointed this out when we were watching it, that it was like Dr. Strangelove. And I think that's a pretty decent comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It totally, and there's even a scene in Don't Look Up that they have to have done it on purpose to be like in Doctor Strangelove. Mm-hmm. It has to be on purpose. And I'm trying to remember the scene.
Yeah,
I and I think it might be something along the lines of when the dude is riding the missile. I can't remember for sure, but something along.
Well, because they send the guy out.
That's what it was.
On the pilot,
that's
right?
It. Yeah, that's the part that's like Doctor Strange.
Exactly. He's on this suicide mission to go bomb the fucking thing.
Yeah,
that was very much Doctor Strangelove.
Yeah. But anyway, I really liked that movie. I thought it was fantastic. And
I think Adam McKay, like, honestly, Adam McKay is one of the best contemporary filmmakers. Like, he's sort of because he spent like the first part of his career doing like Step Brothers and shit like that, like these sort of wacky off the wall comedies, which were quite good for that genre. But he's moved into, he's kept elements of that sort of slapstick, ridiculous, like absurdism in the movies he's done lately, which are like The Big Short and Vice and this one, which are much like stylistically, they are very,
you know,
Adam McKay, like he has a style, he has a way of sort of presenting.
I don't think I've seen Vice, and I actually don't know if I've seen The Big Short.
Both those movies are very good.
I may have seen The Big Short. I can't remember.
Both those movies are very good. Vice, I mean, you know what Vice is about?
Dick Cheney or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a biopic of Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
But it's really, it's like funny? Question mark? No, it's kind of like this movie, right? It's like, it's funny?
But that's like,
it is really funny because he's funny. Like, Adam McKay is hilarious.
That's what makes movies like that effective, though.
Yeah.
People will sit through, like, nobody wants to be like, oh, fuck's sake, a fucking biopic about Dick Cheney, I'm good.
The worst human being that's ever lived. Not close.
Oh, fuck. Are we going to watch another Armageddon movie? No, thanks. I'll pass.
Yeah.
Like
I mean, and if you haven't seen Don't Look Up, spoilers alert, the comet hits and everyone dies. That's not even a spoiler. Because if you don't know that from the first 5 minutes of the movie, if you don't know that that's what's going to happen, then you've missed the point.
Yeah, and
if you keep thinking at some point in the movie they're going to turn it around and it's going to be fine, it's not.
Yeah.
Literally everyone dies.
I feel like we know that really early. Like
as soon as
you see that there is a comet coming,
yeah.
you're like, oh, they're fucked.
When he does that math equation, it's like, oh, and that's going to hit Earth.
They're fucked.
With a 99.87% certainty.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
So there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. But yeah, no.
What if we just call it 70%? But it's not 70%.
Fucking the guy who's definitely on coke the whole time, what's his face?
Jonah Hill's character.
Yeah, Jonah Hill's character.
Chief of staff and son of the
president. Saw that guy, I was like, oh man, you have...
Yeah. He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was good.
Jonah Hill's pretty good in most things.
Mom! But anyway, it was a good movie, and I highly recommend five out of five puke bags.
Yeah. There was other things I wanted to say about that movie, too, but... I think the way that McKay and Sirota present it as like this, it's an inevitability. Because McKay was on a podcast I was listening to, and I forget which podcast it was. I was listening to it, I was at work and wasn't really paying attention, but it was a podcast I was listening to, and McKay was on it, and he was talking about how him and Sirota like went around and like got to know, not just interviewed for the sake of the movie, but got to know on a personal level a lot of different climate scientists. Like, that was part of their research for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about how they would go for, like, a weekend and spend a weekend with, like, the top climate scientist in Denmark or something, right? And they would just hang out. Like, not necessarily even talk about the science.
Yeah, just...
But, like, just hang out with the person who was behind the science.
Yeah.
Which, is really, I think, kind of a brilliant move. It's kind of a brilliant move, and also... What McKay said... Sorry, let me turn that down here.
Fucking so unprofessional.
I know. Okay.
Wow.
So McKay's talking to this climate scientist, and basically he came away after talking to all of them with this sense that they're all grieving.
Yeah.
Like, they're all grieving the planet.
Yeah, because they know...
Like, at this point in time, they're no longer saying, hey, you know, if we just did this, it would be fine. They're just, like, dutifully measuring... the coming apocalypse.
Yeah.
And they know it's going to happen. And they know that even if the entire planet suddenly switched on to actually trying to do something, that it's too late.
Yeah. But this is
like,
this is where the other part of that comes in, where it's then the best we can do now is to fight fascism.
Yeah.
To make it a more comfortable place to die.
So another really great podcast to listen to is The Dollop, which is Gareth Reynolds and Dave Anthony.
I don't think I've heard that one.
They're two comedians who... basically, the premise of it is Dave Anthony goes and researches a topic, a historical topic of some kind, and then he talks about it, and Gareth Reynolds just reacts to it. And I've shown it to you, because it's the one where the Scottishman taking a shit...
Oh, God, yeah.
...thing, yeah. It's funny as hell, but it's also sometimes really heavy, because they're talking about these like historical things, and they're talking about it kind of like Howard Zinn, People's History of the United States thing, where it's like it's history from a working class perspective rather than from the perspective of the victors.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget where I was going with this. Oh, so he talked about Chico, California, in his recent history, and this one is only like 2018 or something. And Dave Anthony made the point that, like, hey, this, you like, people sort of talk about this like link between climate change and fascism, and sometimes it's hard to know how that link actually makes sense. And so he's like, Chico, California is like a really good example of exactly how this takes hold. So he talks about how there was a wildfire that destroyed a lot of the rural area around Chico, which happens to be very working poor in terms of class position.
Yeah.
And so these weren't people like in Paradise, like, or whatever that was, the Palisades and all that shit, when it burned, because it's a bunch of like super fucking, what are you doing?
I'm trying to secretly vape.
Oh, I thought you were going to like do something loud. Just vape. Don't be a crazy person. Nobody cares. So Chico, California, God damn it, we're on a roll already.
Sorry.
So it's when that rich area of California burned, because these are like rich people who just used insurance money and the money they had to rebuild and are fine now, right?
Yeah.
In Chico, or outside of Chico, these were like working poor people. And so when their houses burned down, they became homeless. Because that's what happens when you're poor and your house burns down.
You're not getting help.
Yeah, so they did what people do when they are poor, when they're homeless, and they go to the nearest big population center, right? So they went into Chico. And at first, the people of Chico were very much like, you know, yeah, we got to help these people. They have, they've, through no fault of their own, have become homeless. And so we have to help them, and we're going to do benefits, and we're going to make sure they have.
When maybe the reality of that sets in for people, they tend to get a lot less helpful.
Well, right. And when they realize that that local government
either
had no interest or was totally incapable of actually helping, and there was no other level of government that was going to step in to help, eventually the homeless folks became a nuisance to the good people of Chico. And they started to get really mad and started to like demand from their politicians that they do something about these ne'er-do-wells hanging around.
Yeah.
And then, wouldn't you know it, in the next election, they elect a bunch of fucking right-wing neo-fascists who, you know, were waiting in the wings for something like this to pop up so that they could come back with their, they could come forth with their message about, you know, cleaning the streets and making it good for people to live here again.
Yeah.
And they elected a bunch of like hard right neo-fascists to the government. It's literally how climate change causes fascism.
That's what happens.
If no other level of government steps in to help people, which they won't, then that's what happens. People get frustrated, they get angry, and the only people providing a narrative that makes any amount of sense, typically, are the left, who are marginalized in every way, and the fascists, who the liberals let in the front door.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's a really good example.
Yeah. And I think like the way that McKay and Sirota show even the political landscape in Don't Look Up is very much like, this is why we have to like, or we should have been doing something different up until now.
Yeah. But I think it's a, like, again, I mean, if you weren't expecting spoilers at this point in the episode, then I'm sorry for you. But like, you know, that's why it's so nice at the end when it's like, okay, we've, you know, this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
This, we're fucked. It's literally already hit the earth, and we're just waiting to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to sit down and talk, as you know, they all come together as a group. They sit down at a table and they just talk, and it's like,
and they hold each other's hands and they make each other as comfortable as possible.
Exactly, which is like a really nice, bit of imagery for like, this is the way that, you know, this is all we can do now.
Yeah.
Is try to make each other as comfortable as possible, hold each other's hands, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like compassion. Try to be kind and compassionate to one another and help each other through whatever's coming.
Which is easily the best way they could have possibly ended that movie.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's, there's no point at the right now in being like, oh no, we blew it up. It's not going to happen anymore. That's done.
Yeah.
We're over that. We don't need to start, you know, giving people false hope that the world's not going to end. Yeah.
I still think that like taking meaningful action on climate change is really important. Absolutely. To minimize the fucking damage and suffering.
That's part of making people comfortable.
The damage and suffering is already here. It's not even coming.
Yeah.
We're in a pandemic that's now going on 2 years. That's a direct result of climate change.
We had a snowstorm today that had thunder and lightning in it.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. And Boulder, Colorado's on fire in December.
Boulder, Colorado is on fire.
In December.
Yeah.
In December.
Yeah. I know.
That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, we're fucked.
Yeah, no, it's happening. Like, look what's happened just in the last 3 months.
Oh,
with
I know.
British Columbia without here.
Yeah.
And that when we got fucking 3 weeks of pouring ass rain for just every day.
190 kilometer an hour winds in Newfoundland.
Yeah.
Washing out
150-year-old roads.
Yeah, each coast is getting hit really hard, and that's what they said was gonna happen.
Yeah, and then Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah.
It's all like these things are happening more frequently and more intensely, which is exactly what scientists have been saying is going to happen for 30 years, and it's going to get worse and worse, and it's going to get exponentially worse and worse.
Yeah.
And that's, we're starting to see that now. And we're still like, yeah, but like, I got to try to get this job and work this shitty, meaningless job because I need to fucking pay my rent. And
it's
like, I'm going to be like, if I'm 15 minutes late for work, my boss is going to yell at me. Stuff that doesn't really fucking matter at this point. Like, literally the entire human race should just be focusing their energy on one thing. And we're all like, yeah, but like, you know, someone's got to deliver the dildos.
Yeah.
So.
That's you, buddy. Well, this is the other thing. It's like when they show Carl Sagan at the beginning, there's like a Carl Sagan bobblehead at the beginning of Don't Look Up. And then there's also another Carl Sagan nod. I can't remember what it is. But
there's a line someone says that's a Carl Sagan line. Yeah.
Yeah, but right at the very beginning, there's a Carl Sagan bobblehead, and you're like, oh, it's going to hit the earth.
Yeah.
It's like, yep, okay.
Yeah, they're telegraphing what's going to happen in this movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In the first fucking, first frame or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
And also what's interesting is that the person who's fascinated with Carl Sagan is Leonardo DiCaprio, right?
Yeah.
Who else is fascinated with Carl Sagan? What popular... like culturally significant famous scientist is obsessed with Carl Sagan. Who could that be? Does it rhyme with Field of Grass Fison? Who gets obsessed with his own fame, like Leonardo DiCaprio's character in the movie, like, gets a little bit upset, like loses himself for a minute in the fame of it all.
Unfortunately, Field of Grass Fison has still lost himself. Like,
oh, he's not back. He hasn't reverted back yet.
No,
but he will.
But
the movie's telegraphing that, like, maybe even our boy Neil will probably turn this around at some point.
Yeah. No, it's that whole movie is so, like, you think about it for days after and you're like, man, here's another way that it was really good.
Yeah.
And like, you fucking pick up New York Times or whatever, and they're just like, oh, this was stupid. This was a dumb movie. And it's like, you would say that, wouldn't you?
Do you know? You know? Like, also, I didn't know this until I heard the McKay interview. David Sirota, who I knew, I've heard his like short stories, I think, on This American Life.
Mm-hmm.
Like he'll do readings of things, of essays and things like that he's written. And he's way more progressive than This American Life is usually.
Like, yeah.
That's a pretty standard liberal program.
Is that an NPR?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Sirota was always sort of like, whenever he'd come on, I'd be like, wow, this guy's actually saying some interesting shit.
Yeah.
I think it's him anyway. I might be mixing him up. But he worked on the Bernie Sanders campaign.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the, I believe he was a speechwriter and also potentially like a communications person.
Yeah, you were saying that.
So Sirota, not only is that movie sort of saying like, you know, climate change is coming and we're all going to die. Which is essentially what Bernie Sanders was saying. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, we need to, like, do all these other things to mitigate what's coming. And I think Sirota's experience in being on a campaign that was completely ignored by the media, even though Bernie Sanders was filling football stadiums.
Yeah.
You know, just how he... It didn't really matter what Bernie Sanders did. The media would jump to a distraction.
Yeah.
Of some other thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, oh, yeah, Bernie Sanders said a woman could never win or could never be president, which, like, was a total fucking fabricated lie by Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
Man, I hope she can't sleep at night because I fuck Elizabeth Warren. Just the worst.
Yeah.
If any of you are out there and be like, oh, I like Elizabeth Warren, do some digging. She fucking sucks. She's fucking terrible.
Josh even groaned at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, well, fuck her.
Yeah, we're getting into something old school. This is false territory.
A little bit, but that's okay.
We can do that sometimes. Who cares? This is our fucking podcast.
The world is our oyster.
Yeah.
Or something.
So Don't Look Up. Highly recommend. Very good movie.
Really good.
Especially if you're into like sort of absurdist comedy, because it is funny.
5 out of 5 Funyuns.
Yeah. Like I laughed my ass off at several points in that movie.
There were so many points of that movie where I was like, I'm going to start doing drugs again.
That seems to be the two reactions. I took like a weird amount of optimism out of it for a movie that ends with a fucking comet smashing into the earth.
Here's the thing. I like to waver between optimism and I'm going to start doing drugs again. Like, that movie isn't like, oh, this is the movie that made me think I'm going to start doing drugs again. I'm always on that fence.
Yeah.
But this one, I was like, oh, yeah, that is happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I forgot for a little bit because there's bills to pay and stuff. You know? And then you're just like...
Like, I think that at the end of the... Like, again, if we're spoiling shit, I guess. But at the end of the movie, when they are all sort of, we'll like, comforting each other. Whatever, who cares? If you haven't seen it at this point, it's your fault. It's still going to be a good movie. Just go watch it.
Dude, it's not that old.
I know. I don't care. Do it anyway. But, like, you know, when they're all comforting each other and, like, you know, sitting around the table and whatever, it, like, that's the part that was like, oh, yeah, no, we can still...
Yeah, exactly.
We can still love, though. That's the thing that we can do.
That's why it's the perfect ending. Because it's like... This is what we need to do. We need to be compassionate. We need to look out for each other.
We need to love each other a little bit. And I know that's like such a fucking hippy-dippy John Lennon sitting in the bed with your growing your hair thing. But like, but I don't mean it in that way because love can be violent.
Yeah.
Love can be angry. Love can be all of these things that we need to be in order to actually pull this off.
Travis, a true revolutionary is guided by great feelings of love.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Who said that?
Che Guevara.
Yeah, I thought that was Che. Yeah. Yeah,
but it's true. It's really true. That's a true thing. And when I remember when I went through my preteen hippie phase, mm-hmm. you know, I was watching a lot of Dharma and Greg. You've seen video evidence of that.
You should post that video somewhere. I will
cut your fucking skin off and jam it up your ass.
You are being in pretend Entertainment Tonight style news anchor.
I was watching a lot of E.T. at the time.
You interviewed your brother.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
He was Jonathan Davis. I was Dharma.
You were so serious.
I was very
And you were
serious,
so mad that Ben was not taking it seriously.
Yeah, he was a much cooler person than I was. That fucker died young, so he gets to remain cool, and I just have to, like, continue to be a dork. But anyway, I used to be in this phase where I was like, all you need is love, and blah, 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 blah. And grandma and grandpa were like, you need fucking rent. I was like, fair. And they were like, let me teach you about the Cuban Revolution. But it's true. There's such a huge amount of, like, socialism itself, like, socialism, revolutionary work, that's all guided by feelings of love. So, you know, the fact that they're all sitting down at this table and showing each other compassion and love and participate, you know, they're bringing foods together, bringing wine, bringing bread, and they're all bringing their resources to the table
mm-hmm.
and sharing with each other. It's like this nice, small-scale mutual aid right before the house blows up.
The other thing, too, so, like, because they're all, like, they're going to into the city, and there's not a single other person on the road.
Yeah.
Because everyone is watching the launch of this so-called potential rescue mission. We won't get into the details of that, but they're like, you know, why aren't we watching that? Because, like, we're gonna go get groceries.
Yeah.
And they go getting groceries and then they go have dinner.
That's a really good point.
And I think what's interesting about that is that that's the scientific community. That's the representative of the scientific community saying there's no point to watching whatever solution we come up with at this point. We're not even, who cares?
Yeah, we're getting supplies for this thing that we're doing.
I'm just
going to
go and hunker down with the people I love because this shit's bad and it's going to end badly.
But that's another, that, like, ties right. It's such a perfect ending. It's such a perfect imagery, like, you know, of what we actually need to do.
And it's,
so good.
I think it's also just, like, I think grieving is what we need to maybe do.
So five out of five
let's
baby
grieve,
kittens.
Let's grieve and then let's do what we got to do after we grieve.
Yeah.
To move on and to build something out of it.
I think the grieving needs to come first and then comes the violence.
Cut off the head of a politician. Anyone, just pick one. I'm not saying in a video game.
In Minecraft, obviously.
In Minecraft, cut off the head of a politician. Like, surround buildings of state and light them on fire. I'm just suggesting some things you could do to let out that grief.
In Minecraft.
Yeah. Of course.
So everybody start practicing Minecraft.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
This leads perfectly into the next thing I wanted to talk about.
Okay, what's the next thing? This is a good segue.
We're on our own.
Oh.
We are on our own. We have reached the point of the Ponderosa.
Panorama.
Where we are on our own.
We are.
The government is just saying, Listen, we did what we had to do for a year and a half.
Oh, that is a good segue.
And we're sorry. Just get sick. Get sick, and then just try to go back to work, though. Make sure that even if you're sick, you go back to work, because that's the important thing, is that you keep going back to work.
And make sure, though, also that you take walks. Go for walks. Go back to work. Don't hug anyone.
I haven't heard anybody say go for a walk. At this point, I've just been seeing, oh, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
Reduce the isolation period, because otherwise the economy will completely shut down.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been definitely...
Please don't not go to work. If they're not telegraphing in big fucking red blinking letters what would actually change things...
Yeah. I know. It's like, bad.
Just make sure no matter what happens, go to work. Please go to work. We need you to go to work.
We're not giving you any more money.
No, you're not getting any money from us. Your kids, too. If your kids have to stay home, too bad. Let the dog look after them or whatever.
There's the COVID sickness benefit, which you are only eligible for if you have COVID or you've had to quarantine because your roommate has COVID or, you know, stuff. But you're only eligible for that for 4 weeks. That's total.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get COVID once and then you get Omicron, you're fuckered, bud.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then you only have to isolate for 5 days in most places. 7 here in Nova Scotia.
How many people do you know that are okay without a week of pay?
Like, literally, no one I know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, no one I know.
Yeah. Most of us are 1 week's pay away from homelessness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so, like a stat.
Yeah.
Bad.
It's sort of remarkable to watch the transition. And I'm not like, listen, there are some... So this is something that I was recommended to do by... Say, I'm just going to... It's a Dave Anthony hour. Dave Anthony tweeted out, like, hey...
Buy a shotgun.
Stop. Yeah. He surround a building and light it on fire. You should stop watching the news.
Yeah.
They're not fucking reporting this properly.
Yeah.
You should stop listening to politicians because they don't give a shit. You should literally just stop. Don't even fucking acknowledge that those two things are even telling you information about this virus. Just follow these 9 people on Twitter who are virologists.
Yeah.
Follow them.
Yeah.
And they will tell you everything you need to know about the virus, and that's it. If you don't need to hear it from any other source, you just need to follow the people who are fucking studying this for a living and who are experts in this field.
Yeah.
Because, like, and what they're saying, it's interesting because it's, I would say, 70% hopeful and 30% like, what the fuck is the media and politicians doing right now?
Yeah.
Like, because I've started following them, these 9 people, and the overwhelming message is like, listen, Omicron, given that we haven't vaccinated the whole world and there's no real light at the end of the tunnel for that, we're fucked. We now have to deal with this variant. Yes.
Because, first of all, we're going to have to put those virologists that...
you're asking me to go find... That's a lot of energy I'm not going to put into
it.
Just go find Dave Anthony on Twitter.
Okay, perfect.
And just do what he tells you to do.
Okay, so there's that. But then secondly, does this not... I know that this is very much hopeful thinking, but is there not that non-patented
yes.
vaccine that is out now?
It's one vaccine being put out by a children's hospital in Texas.
Oh, it's...
Much as it has the potential to do something,
yeah,
it's already going to be challenged in court by Moderna and Pfizer. So.
Yes, but I was kind of hoping that it would kind of start a spark, you know?
It's too late, probably. For that,
maybe
definitely for Omicron, maybe the next variant.
Yeah,
maybe then it'll be done in time for that, but not for this one.
Yeah. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, so basically, like, yeah, Omicron seems to be milder in terms of short-term symptoms, although there's some emerging evidence that long COVID happens just as frequently, and that's the real fucker.
Mm-hmm.
There's also some evidence that children may be more vulnerable to Omicron.
Yeah.
Who cares about them? Fucking useless, like half developed humans anyway, so
yeah.
But that, like, there is a chance this is the transition to endemic status. However, most scientists are saying that won't happen until like 2024 or 2025. It's, everybody's like, oh yeah, by like May, this shit will be endemic. Like, no.
No. No, there's so
much. It's, it's going to be bad for a long time. ICUs are still being overwhelmed because the sheer number of cases are so high that hospitalizations are going to go up and overwhelm the system, plus staff that has to take time off because of having the virus.
Yeah.
Those two things twinning together are creating a crisis. Yeah, so basically these scientists are saying your politicians are fucking you. And it's funny because like scientists are tend to be professional middle class liberals.
Yeah.
And you will see a lot of scientists who are very much like have a liberal mindset. And even they have been lately been like, yeah, like don't listen to these fucking idiots. They don't know what they're doing. Like they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. It's fucking ridiculous. Like just from the beginning, this has been such a shit show, you know? And like, God, did we start this during the pandemic, this podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did. Yeah. July 2020.
Yeah.
It was a few months after.
Oh yeah. Because I met you during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Anyway. Yeah. But Pam Spanish and I started it in July.
In July. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just put a little brain fart. But yeah. Yeah, it's a nightmare. It's really bad, and I 0 out of 5 Funyuns. Would not recommend.
Yeah. But you really are on your own. We can't even get fucking tests anymore?
Oh, no, we can't get tests. In fact, if they're telling you if you have symptoms, just test yourself. But you can't have any tests.
Yeah, but no. Test yourself.
We don't have any.
Oh, we don't have any, so.
Yeah.
Also get N95 masks.
We don't have any though.
We're also out of those. Yeah. Don't wear the cloth masks though. But don't wear those, but we don't have the ones you need.
But they do have a ton of hand sanitizer for this airborne virus.
Right, which is useless.
Yeah.
You might as well just eat the hand sanitizer. It does nothing.
Yeah.
It does, like not that it does nothing. It have does you guys so tried little. Spraying
bleach though into your
into the air?
Into the air? Just if you just I heard that might help.
Might, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, you know. Try, you know, whatever.
Look, I get that hand sanitizer makes people feel better.
Oh, it does for me. I use it all the time.
It's not doing anything to stop the spread of the virus. Not really. Oh,
no. Just to be fair, I was using it before.
I'm just happy that it's more available now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm everywhere. Hell, cool. Yeah, it's great. Except for, you know, some of the ones are real bad. The ones that smell sticky. Like tequila.
Oh, the ones that are sticky.
Shoppers has easily, hands down, the worst hand sanitizer selection. Cross province. You know, interprovincial. Shoppers, get your shit together.
Whatever their hand sanitizer supplier is,
whoever
you're fucking
is,
it up.
And it's different.
I hate it when it's just sticky on your hands.
Yeah. Ugh. No. Yuck, 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 yuck.
No. You're anyway. The one that's the quick evaporating.
And you know, I have that thing with public wetness, and I don't like it. You know, I don't like to touch anything that's wet, even if it's hand sanitizer. I know that the germies are not coming back to life because that's in my brain how my public wetness fear works, which. I realize it doesn't make any sense. Germs don't just dehydrate and then when they get wet, they get rehydrated and get all active and dancey. Like, this isn't
like, I mean, I magic suppose, school I suppose bus. Like bacteria needs wetness to grow.
Yeah, but see,
that's like a thing.
I know.
That's a thing.
Here's the thing.
That's a thing. It's not totally irrational.
It's pretty irrational because I can't even handle touching anything when there's hand sanitizer on my hands because I'm like, nope. Like, if I watch someone. Oh my God. If I watch someone put hand sanitizer on their hands and then just immediately just go balls out and grab their shopping cart, I'm like, oh,
really?
Oh, I can't. And I'll stare at it and I'll think about it for like 2 hours afterwards. Oh. Just be like,
yeah, I don't share this.
It'll be like a laces out moment for me. Like every time. I'm just like, oh. Anyway.
So, okay. Let's stop talking about the doom at the end of the world that's coming.
I want to talk...
Either by disease or by climate disaster or by fascism.
Yeah.
One of those three things is going to get pretty much all of us.
Yeah.
You know, outside of the natural causes that you might die from.
Let's stop talking about this. It's terrible. Segue it to something nice.
If climate change doesn't get you, the fascists will. we're first against the wall when fascism comes.
Oh, hundo P, bud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see you there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be pushing you in front of me. That's for sure. I'll be tripping you and running away. Well, obviously, we're going to sacrifice Josh first. But anyway.
Yeah. So, I love how journalists think that they're the ones that'll be first against the wall. Yeah, because you hear that often. Oh, journalists would be the first. No, you'll just start reporting about how the fascists are actually great.
Yeah, this is what happens. This is historically.
That's what fucking happens in the media. Yes. You are not an ally. Stop acting like you are.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, the downtrodden journalists.
Oh God.
Fuck off.
Fuck all the way off. Yeah. I'm glad that industry is dying. Not because we do need journalism. Holy shit, do we ever need actual journalism? We are fucked without it.
Yeah.
We don't have actual journalism, and we haven't for a long time. Yeah. What we have is corporate bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to die, frankly. So,
bye. Bye.
We'll do our own fucking community reporting.
Yeah, it's been growing, so why not keep growing?
So we are. We're journalists.
Ooh. Schmurnalists.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about something happy now.
Okay. So there's two more things on my list here.
I want to pick which one we do next.
Do you? I think we should... Okay.
Yeah, let me pick, motherfucker.
Okay. So the two things left on the list are, in the order I have them on the list, in capital letters, Just Be Polly. And the other one is reading Jim Joyce.
Oh, we're doing Just Be Polly first.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. No, because this ties in, actually. We're just talking... Fuck, if I hadn't said this bullshit about picking the next one, it would have been a really good segue for Just Be Polly, and I fucked it up. Anyway.
So, you and I, we tend to watch a lot of TV together.
Yeah.
A lot of it is F1, because we are now F1 fans.
Oh, yeah, that was a new
I think we discussed that last week, potentially.
Yum.
Yum. We love F1.
Yeah.
We love DR. We Danny love Ricardo.
We love F1.
And not Renault, sorry.
And Danny Rick.
McLaren.
Yeah, McLaren and Danny Rick.
Big McLaren fans over here.
Yeah.
Big Danny Rick and Lando Norris fans.
DR.
I like Lando Norris too. I like him. He real good. Fuck Ferrari.
Fuck Ferrari. Anyway, no, nobody gives a shit about this. Let's keep...
No. We've been watching a lot of that.
Yeah, so that, but also.
But also. Anytime we watch anything else.
Yeah.
And there's like a weird love triangle thing happening or
we
like...
We yell so much.
We just, like, we're like, you know, oh, this person is leaving this person because this person cheated on this person and like, this person is miserable in their fucking deadbeat sexless marriage and they fucking hate each other. We just yell really loudly at the screen.
Just be Polly! Just do it!
Everyone will be happier. Everyone. Just do it!
It would be fine.
You can get what you want.
I know.
Everyone can get what they want.
But you know what? Then that's it. The show's over. Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Well, look at that. Every single
show. What were we watching where we first said that?
It wasn't Scrubs, was it?
No, that was only a couple days ago.
Oh, no, it was Ginny and Georgia.
Ginny and Georgia. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. If they're watching Ginny and Georgia on Netflix, but George, which is filmed in Cobourg, Ontario, we've talked about this on the podcast before.
That's why we watched it.
The Georgia character, like deciding between these three men, ultimately that like really want her, and it's just such a hard decision. Just be Polly. You can fuck all three of them, and all three of them can be really happy, because they can also then fuck each other and everyone else they want to, and or if they don't want to, if they just want to not, that's cool too. Do what you want to do. Just be Polly.
Literally, it's every day.
And I'm not saying, if you're happy in monogamy, go be monogamous, but it's always these people who, like, clearly aren't happy in monogamy. They just clearly fucking hate it.
Yeah, they're just doing it because they're like, wow.
Well, it's what you have to do.
This is part of my thing.
It's just what you have to do.
Well, I have to.
I love all of these people.
What else could
I
do?
But I have to do this. I can only choose one.
You can only ever be in love with one person.
Oh, I'm in a marriage where I fucking hate myself and my partner. And I fucking hate my life, and it's sexless, and it's awful, and I just want to commit suicide. Be Polly.
And in those shows,
open it up.
In every situation where they're like, "Oh, you know what? I'm gonna branch out, and I'm gonna try to carry on these two relationships." And obviously, it's not Polly when they're doing it; it's like cheating and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But in every single one of those situations, the rest of their life always completely blows up too.
Yeah.
It's like you fuck up your job, you fuck up your friends, you fuck one of those things up, you're fucking up everything.
Right,
that is so
only
unrealistic.
You fuck up your relationship and everything else falls apart, which 100%. Tells us what?
Monogamy is so important that it will completely control your life.
It has to.
That's
the script.
Exactly.
Your life will be complete when and only when you find your true love.
It's so fucked up.
It's such a fucked up fairy tale that, like, we tell ourselves.
Watching most shows from, like, a poly lens is really, like, you really are like, Jesus. Like, toxic monogamy.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, it's ridiculous.
If monogamy works for you, and it's not toxic, and you get something out of it, I'm not here to yuck your yum, as I keep saying.
I wish you wouldn't.
Do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
I guess. But also...
You're a fascist.
No.
No.
No, you're not a fascist.
You're not a fascist. I just think Mikey. That... I just think that most of these problems that everybody in Hollywood seems to be having could be fixed by just being poly. You know?
Yeah.
Just be poly.
Yeah. And it's not just... Because how many people do we know who are in those loveless marriages?
But how much
who
do you...
fucking hate each other?
How much I do only you know, those like, are fueled, though, by... You know, because those a lot of those are fueled by this whole, like, you know, you see all the time. How many people do you know that are like, well, it's just like in this or blah, blah, blah. It's always fueled by, like, you know, this capitalist expectation of monogamy, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets to the point where sometimes you see a friend who's going through something like that. And you're like, this is exactly like one of these stupid. I'm like wanting to yell at you being like, just be poly. But like, it's just. Holy fuck, just do it. But you know what? Like, this entire... Every episode of this podcast, we're like, just be poly. Everybody be poly.
Which we're not saying.
Which we're not saying. We really are saying that because we literally say it every episode.
And also, like... so this kind of leads into the other thing that I wanted... I kind of wanted to talk about this more on the episode that we released on, like, right after Christmas.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's... No, I don't even know because I black out every time we record, so I never know what we've talked about.
But, yeah, so... It leads into, like, again, we talk a lot about the scripts that we follow and the escalator and, like, this is just how you live. And most people just don't question it because, like, traditionalism is really comforting, right? Yeah. And it is. Being traditional, being a trad, is very comfortable because you don't have to fucking think about it or talk about it or do anything about it. You just have to, like, submit to it ultimately. And that's...
It's a lot easier because you also get a lot more support from everyone else when you're trad.
Yeah.
You lose a lot of support when you either come out as poly or, you know,
or just try live to in a different way.
Resources that are for poly or for trad people.
Yeah. Or just, and so this brings me back to, like, Christmas and how Christmas is the one time of year, I think, the one time of year where I really struggle with being poly and I really struggle with not living a traditional lifestyle because Christmas is the fucking definition of
family?
Traditional family capitalist. It is all the things that we find kind of deplorable about the way we have to live, all wrapped into this, like, shimmering, shining bow of, like, the pull that I feel toward sometimes I find myself around the holidays wishing I was more fucking trad.
Yeah.
And I could have just found someone in my mid-20s.
Oh, I know.
And, like, settled down with them and got married and had a kid. And
my
just
ovaries start be hurting
living,
every Christmas.
Be living near one of our parents and, like, living that whole fucking lifestyle. Because, like, at Christmas time, it would be way better.
Yeah.
But then, like, after Christmas, you go, like, yeah, no, that was just a weird thing that happened there. I'm totally fine with not having any of that.
Yeah.
But...
I gotta tell you, man, like, you feel that around Christmas time? I feel that constantly because I'm like, my ovaries have lately just been like, hey, fucker, hey, what's going on? When's our time, man? When's our time? And I'm like, no, man, no, chill, calm down. But during Christmas time, I'm just, like, especially, I was like, sitting here, we were hanging out watching TV, and I was just like, I think I had some sort of hallucination. Like, I was like, did I just... think about a kid sitting on the floor watching something, and I was like, ooh, whoa, 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 whoa.
And the thing is, the whole notion of a biological clock is a social construct that doesn't actually exist, but
it's 100% environmental influence. Absolutely.
Yeah. So like when women talk about feeling the pull of the biological clock,
yeah,
it makes it sound super scientific and like there's something happening in their body that's making them want to do it. That doesn't actually exist.
No, I don't like to use the term biological clock because that makes me feel like my only purpose is to have kids, which is fucked up.
It's just you've been told, women have been told their whole fucking life that they are only good for one thing and they better do it before they're 30. Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to be a fucking problem.
You know, if the American and I decide to shit out a crotch goblin, what we're going to do is... Because it's something that we're both interested in.
Don't do this to me, Evelyn.
No, I'm sorry, sweetie. You can't be the only kid forever.
Do not do this to me.
If we decide to shit out a crotch goblin, we've decided that it's, you know... I mean, I'm 37, so...
I'll help her, isn't
it? I know you will.
It's got there is a biological component to being able to have kids. Men have that too, by the way. Our sperm also degrades.
Yeah, no, that's true.
At around the same age that women start to have issues. But
it's a thing that, you know, and it's also a hard conversation to have in poly communities because it's, this is entirely anecdotal because it's the experiences that I've had in poly communities is that I don't talk about thinking about having kids in front of poly people.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a...
Oh, it's an immediately like, ew. And you're like...
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're just like, what happened to my body, my choice, motherfucker? You know what I mean? But I do realize that the complications that brings up, you know? But it is still something that is an actual very real conversation that is, you know, happening. But it is a real conversation that is going to fuck up other relationships.
Maybe.
But no, it definitely will.
It doesn't
have
to.
It doesn't have to, but other relationships have... it's not going to work if I poop out a kid.
See, that's unfortunate.
That's the conversation that is being had currently, so...
Yeah. It's disappointing, though.
Yeah, because, it's incredibly disappointing because there are many things that I want and I can't have all of them.
See, I really don't think that polyamory should be conflated with not having kids.
Because, I agree with you.
I think again, if we're going to go back to polyamory as a political form of political resistance, there's no political resistance that I know of, at least on the left, that's saying we shouldn't have kids. We should absolutely be having kids.
There's, in fact, the opposite.
Because, professional middle-class people are having kids by the fucking boatload.
That's exactly why.
And that's, a form of weird genocide that we're doing to ourselves by not having kids.
Exactly.
But how can working class people have kids because there's not enough money when we're all none of us have jobs and if we can't buy houses? If we live communally, we can afford that.
But this is why I don't understand why in the poly communities it's hard to have that conversation about kids because it's like, I'm not trying to be a fucking, you know, cult leader here or anything. I'm just, you know, I'm not saying that we all need to do some weird hippy dippy shit, but you do... The left needs to breed leftists. I'm sorry.
Well, we need to breed... Not even about leftism. It's about breeding working class people. Well, it's about the continuation of our existence as...
We need to breed people who are not middle class fucking, you know, bougie shit.
Right.
We can't completely extinct ourselves.
Right. Because, who's going to die from climate change first and foremost?
I'm just saying the future...
Working class people.
It's going to be a lot more leftists or, you know...
Who dies most often from pandemics?
Yeah, it's working class people, always.
And who usually is the first to go during, fascist uprisings?
Yeah, exactly.
Usually, working unions and things.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's I think that I don't know why... I hate the fact that that's a real part of my life. That's a real conversation that's been happening. And... It's not something that I can freely talk about because it's so almost taboo
I think
in our circles.
I think that you should freely talk about it because it's what you want and how you feel.
Well, yeah, it's something that I'm pretty sure that I want. And I you know, I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure that I want to do that. And I think that it is... An important thing for me is that I want to make sure that there are people who are working class and free thinking people who will be useful in the future.
But wouldn't it be awesome if that kid was raised by a polycule?
I think it would
instead
be
instead of just by
amazing.
Two poor broke ass fucking people. Why not 11 poor broke ass fucking people.
So this, I've been talking to the American, we have this conversation all the time. I kind of wish he was here for this because he is like so passionate about this, where it's like, wouldn't it be amazing? You know, like, it literally takes a village. Like, they say it all the time, and it's like, there's a reason.
But it doesn't under capitalism. You're to be your own atomized little separate family that maybe other people in your immediate family can help with, but that's about it.
Can you imagine how much more effective it would be if you had the input of so many different families? You
and know? This being presented as a radical, insane idea is really fucked up because, like, for the vast, vast, vast majority of human history, exactly. That is how kids were raised.
Exactly. This is the like, original way to do it.
It's been, like, five generations that we've done it this way. Like, yeah. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not much.
Yeah, it's
it ridiculous. Hasn't been that. And there's plenty of cultures around the world that still raise kids communally. It is very much like a white European capitalist but construct that we do it the way we do it.
Yeah, but this is a conversation, you know, wouldn't it be better to raise, you know, the crotch goblins in a communal setting or like in a polycule? Yeah, that's a great thing, and that is something that I'm going to be bringing up with other folks.
Like, eventually, yeah. Well, no, you know what? Bring it up right away.
I'm actually going to be bringing it up right away.
Yeah.
Because it's something that's, before I get too invested into the other folks, is I'm going to, you know, be like, yo.
Yeah, like, this isn't happening tomorrow or may not happen for a lot of other reasons. But I don't want
to waste your time or mine, you know.
Because, I mean, you are 37.
Yeah.
And it's going to be difficult for you to have kids.
Yeah.
So, like, it may not happen, but, like, or at least may not happen biologically. I guess there's lots of ways to have kids that don't involve the use of your body. But
yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, like, there's chance that it might not happen, sure. Yeah. But, yeah, I think it's important to just fucking talk about it.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a thing I thought I would talk about, and now I feel pretty good that I talked about it.
Yeah. I would totally. I shouldn't say I would totally have kids. I'm pretty sure I still don't really want kids, but
you're
I would
be raising my kid anyway.
Well, that's the thing. I would totally be down to like help raise kids.
Yeah.
You know, even if I don't necessarily want one of my own or one that I'm like legally responsible for, or maybe I do want that, but I just want that in not a traditional like nuclear family situation.
Yeah.
The idea of that. Fuck that. Never. But like if there's a way to do it where it can happen more communally.
I'm so much more interested in having a kid communally than I am having a kid with just me and one partner.
Yeah. No.
I'm so much more interested because
fuck that.
Right? It's terrifying to think about.
We wouldn't be able to do it.
No, it's not first of all, it's not definitely in our situation is not possible.
No,
in me and the American situation, it is absolutely not possible.
Yeah.
And, but if we were to, you know, I just want, I wish things were different. That's all.
I mean, as per usual, capitalism is going to be the biggest impediment to the things that we want.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Yeah.
Frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, no. So anytime you're watching a piece of media out there, and we'll probably like one thing I'd like to do with This Is False, and we've done it before kind of jokingly. But yeah. I'd like to, like, watch a movie or a TV show and talk about it.
Oh, yeah. I really want to do that, like, kind of.
And since we live together now, we can fucking. We're always watching the same shit anyway, so yeah, we can easily do it.
Do it whenever we want to.
Yeah. But just be Polly.
Just be Polly.
Just be Polly.
Guys.
Why are you making yourself so deliberately miserable? Just be Polly.
Exactly.
You'll be miserable for different reasons, but at least you won't be miserable for those other fucking reasons. You'll still
be miserable, but just it'll be fine. I'm trying to find that thing that we were reading the other day.
What? Oh.
The next thing, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to just... I just don't want you to think that I'm, like, texting on my phone.
No, I kind of figured. Okay, so... out there in the world, most of you are probably familiar, at least have heard the name James Joyce. Jim Joyce. James Joyce.
Rolls Royce.
Maybe you didn't know that James Joyce had a torrid affair with a woman named Nora, who he used to write letters to. And these letters, which Ursa may be aware of, are mostly like, they're erotic letters.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of them are really good and like kind of hot, especially for their time. Like fucking raunchy as shit.
Incredibly raunchy.
James Joyce. You just go look up a picture of James Joyce with his mustache.
He's a
I think he was into some shit.
Trim looking fellow. He looks very, you know.
he looks like a guy who's into some shit.
He does. Yeah.
Yeah.
He a dirty boy.
Yeah, he dirty.
Yeah.
And we got onto the conversation in our household about farting on penises. We don't need to talk about how we got there, okay? We're not going to talk about how we got there.
You can probably imagine.
No, we can't.
No, just... they get a mat. Come but on.
It's funny. It's funny.
It's funny.
Farting on penises is funny.
And when your dick's like, oh.
Ooh, hey.
What?
What am I doing? Hold up.
Where are we going?
Should I like this? We going in there? Okay.
All right, I'm ready, I guess.
But James Joyce takes that to a whole nother level.
Oh, he sure do.
In one of his letters to Nora. And may I now present to you, this is false Evelyn Irish reading.
Okay.
Of James Joyce's letter to Nora. One of his letters.
I think that we will do... Okay, this is actually a bit of a long letter, but we're going to go ahead.
Yeah, read the whole thing. Got to read the whole thing.
Okay.
And like, if I don't know why you would be listening to this fucking podcast with your kids.
I don't know why
you would do that. There's an explicit tag on this shit for a reason.
Okay.
But if you happen to be listening to this podcast with your kids, stop doing that immediately.
Immediately.
And God.
Terrible parent.
I'm going to have a lot of feelings, I think.
Anyway, so I'm going to read one of a selection of James Joyce's very sensual letters to Nora. This one's dated the 8th of December, 1909. Dublin.
Man was ahead of his time.
Oh, fuck yeah, bud. My sweet little whorish Nora. I did as you told me, you dirty little girl. And pulled myself off twice when I read your letter. I am delighted to see that you do being like fucked arseways.
Yeah, she does. She's into that butt sex.
Yes, now I can remember that night when I fucked you for so long backwards. It was the dirtiest fucking I ever gave you, darling. My prick was stuck up in you for hours, fucking in and out under your upturned rump. I felt your fat, sweaty buttocks under my belly, and I saw your flushed face and mad eyes. At every fuck I gave you, your shameless tongue came bursting out your lips. And if I gave you a bigger, stronger fuck than usual...
She had a high-go face.
Fat, dirty farts came...
Start that sentence over. So we know that Nora goes,
Okay. And if I... and if I gave you a bigger, stronger fuck than usual...
Evelyn, you have to do it.
I know, I'm
trying. Be a professional.
I'm trying so hard.
Be a professional. Okay, put yourself in the mindset of our boy James. Put yourself in the mindset of Nora reading it.
Fat, dirty farts came spluttering out of your backside. You had an arse full of farts that night, darling. And I fucked them out of you. Big, fat fellows. Long, windy ones. Quick little Mary cracks.
A man can turn a phrase.
And a lot of tiny little naughty farties. And a lot of tiny little naughty farties ending in a long gush from your hole. Okay. It is wonderful to fuck a farting woman when every fuck drives one out of her. I think I would know Nora's fart anywhere. I think I could pick hers out in a room full of farting women. It is a rather girlish noise, not like the wet, windy fart.
You can pick it out of a room full of women. Oh, James Joyce is a fucking genius.
It is a rather girlish noise, not like the wet, windy fart which I imagine fat wives have. It is sudden and dry and dirty, like what a bold girl would let off in fun in a school dormitory at night.
Jesus Christ, Jim.
I hope Nora will let off no end of her farts in my face so that I may know their smell also. You say when I go back, you will suck me off and you want me to lick your cunt, you little depraved blackguard. I hope you will surprise me sometime when I'm asleep dressed, steal over me with a whore's glow in your slumberous eyes, gently undo button after button in the fly of my trousers, and gently take out your lover's fat Mickey.
Yeah, he does.
Lap it up in your
it's
moist
like a Mickey
mouth.
A whiskey.
Fuck you. And suck away at it till it gets fatter and stiffer and comes off in your mouth.
Hell yeah, James.
Sometime, too, I shall surprise you asleep, lift up your skirts, and open your hot drawers gently. Sorry.
Hot drawers? Jesus Christ. I really wish that you could read this in an Irish accent. Don't try.
I'm not gonna try.
But I really wish that you could.
I know. Then lie down gently by you and begin to lick lazily around your bush. I just got a message from my dad. That was horrible timing. Oh, okay. Oh my god. Okay, hold on. I've got to listen. You know what I'm just picturing is like that one fucking song in it's either the Jungle Book or like Robin Hood when it's like lazily having a little lick. Oh my god. Okay, listen.
Oh no.
I'm trying to do a fucking dramatic reading here, okay? Anyway, so begin to lazily lick around your bush. You will begin to stir uneasily, and then I will lick the lips of my darling's cunt. You will begin to groan and grunt and sigh and fart with lust.
You're so close to making that hot, James.
In your sleep. It's so close.
So close. Just and then groaning and sighing and farting.
And then I will lick up faster and faster, like a ravenous dog, until your cunt is a mass of slime.
What the fuck are they eating over there?
And your body wriggling wildly. Good night, my little farting Nora. My dirty little fuckbird. There is one lovely word, darling, you have underlined to make me pull myself off better. Write me more about that, and yourself, sweetly. Dirtier, dirtier. Jim. I can't.
Jimmy.
I tried so hard. I tried so hard to not laugh. And
quick
just...
little Mary cracks. She's just fucking the farts out of her ass. Loved it.
You know, this is one thing.
1909, though. Yeah. Like, we just talk about the fact that, like, how, like, taboo everything in that was in 1909. Like, now that's just, like, what you do. But
except
for maybe the farting part.
I think that what I might do is offer up to the This Is False crowd a selection of readings of the other letters. And I'll try.
I love how a podcast that was named after something Reno Bortolan said is now become like a smut podcast.
Erotic fart podcast. They're sexy, hot.
So we have forever associated Reno Bortolan
with fart boners?
Jim James
fart boners. Oh my god, I can't even begin to thank you, James Joyce.
And Ursa for knowing that existed and showing it to me.
What the fuck? That was amazing. And So I'll do a little like one-off like 20-minute episode where I read the rest of the letters that I can find.
I've read some of them and they're not all that funny. In fact, most of them are not. They're like damn, they were having awesome sex. Like holy shit.
Yeah, I know. Fuck, man.
Jim and Nora were.
Yeah.
They were fucking.
They were the power couple of 1909.
Yeah.
Everybody was calling them Jorah. And they were like, farting Jorah. That was ridiculous. Anyway, yeah, so that happened. That's a thing that happened. A heritage moment. The more you know.
And Jim Joyce fucking the farts out of Nora. Part of our heritage.
That's like the Halifax explosion. Nora's ass.
Hey man, whatever does it for you.
Holy Christ.
Sometimes when you're getting in there, it, you know, things happen.
Listen, you're gonna have to deal with some farts of the front bum often with the sex if you're pumping the air in there, right? You got a lot of queefs, right? So sometimes
if you're pulling out a lot,
I mean, well, also if you fuck doggy style a lot and it's really hard fucking, then you can get a lot of air pumped in there.
I really hope my grandmother isn't listening to this episode. I hope this is not the one that she decided to listen to. Oh, Grandma, just
hey, Grams,
just stop.
Love you.
Listening to the podcast, please.
But if then you turn over, there's always that moment of uncertainty for a vagina haver when you've been pounded, you know, doggy style for a while, and it's been really like powerful thrusting. Then there's that moment of uncertainty where you're like, how loud is this going to be? And you're kind of turning around to go, like, lay on your back or get a drink of water. God forbid you have to sit up, like, prone to do something. Like, if they finished from back there and you got to go do the piss and evacuate the cum, then...
Jesus Christ.
If you go to, like, just exit the doggy style position, there's always going to be, like, a... And you're just like, fuck. Like, how loud is it going to be? And every time, because I'm so immature, I'm like... I'm like, the other party is always like, just ignoring it. Because that's what you're supposed to do, is just ignore it. Because it's a normal bodily function. But every single time, I'm like...
I don't think that we should ever show this podcast to anyone in Halifax.
Oh, God, no. No.
I'm a
37-year-old woman.
And we need jobs.
These are the things that I find funny.
We need jobs. Our union talk won't get us as much blackballed from the job market as this will.
Oh, this 100%. Definitely. I don't see the issue. You know, the human body is a work of art, Travis, and I think
I'm not offended by any of this. This is just the raunchiest we've ever been on this podcast.
I thought this was the direction that we were taking, and frankly, I'm disappointed that it's not flying as well. I mean, I thought I could, you know, speak my inner thoughts, but apparently...
You can do whatever you want. I'm not stopping you.
Am I the only one that gets worried about how loud the queef is going to be? Like, I can't be the only one. No? All right. Well, thanks for coming out, folks.
How loud's the queef going to be is what this episode is going to be called. No, Farting Nora.
Farting Nora. Yeah, Farting Nora is a really good name for it.
Holy shit.
I'm sweaty now.
Yeah.
Those were hot letters.
Yeah, I guess.
No, like hot.
It's funny because it started to get hot.
I know, there's like a couple
there's like
points
a, there's like, a, like in the middle part of that, it's like, whoa, damn.
Yeah, and then he's like, and then you fart. And it's he's like, why, like, man?
Groaning, sighing, farting. Just like,
No.
Why are you farting when he's down there?
Maybe, you know what, and like, I don't want to kink shame anyone.
No, I mean, if that's really what you're into farts,
then cool.
I mean, like, when you're doing things back there, when you're in
sometimes
there,
it happens.
That happens, and you know what? Yeah. You just embrace it.
Yeah.
But like, I've never had anyone fart in my face when I'm like going down on them. That's never happened in my life, thankfully.
I gotta stop now. I have to be... You have to turn my mic off for a minute.
Why? Oh my God. This never happened to me. Have you ever farted in someone's face and they're going down on you?
No. No, I don't.
You hold that shit in.
Yeah, you, like, for your own life, like... It is as though...
I would rather my fucking intestine burst than let it fart when someone's going down on me. Honest to God. That would be mortifying. Are you fucking kidding me?
Ever since I saw Mallrats and, like, Brody farts on her as she's going down on him, and it's a whole thing, and I was like, oh my God, that's a thing that can happen.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it can, but like...
If someone's a disrespectful piece of shit...
Oh, I haven't seen Mallrats. Is that the situation?
Wow. He's just lazy. Still, I had a crush on him in that movie. Yeah, I know. I'm disgusting.
Okay, Jim.
Anyway, oh my God. Anyway, so that's a thing that happened. So don't, you know, take care of each other. Make sure that you fight fascism. It's okay to talk about wanting to have kids, and don't fart when someone's going down on you. Right?
Yeah.
Are these the takeaways?
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to do a serious one, but now I don't think I can.
Oh. I mean, if you feel like you can, then
I was just going to say grieving is healthy, and maybe I'm embracing my inner Camusian nihilist.
Okay, so grieving is healthy.
I'm becoming, you know what? Maybe, yeah, obviously. Nihilism does not mean you don't give a shit. I think that's actually a really poor misunderstanding of what nihilism is.
And holding your farts during...
I'm not saying I'm a nihilist either. I'm saying I'm nihilism is a spectrum. And I think
nihilist tendencies sometimes.
Since July? Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, since the Great Rupture, as we'll call it, I've become more nihilistic, definitely, in the last year.
Definitely.
100%.
Yeah.
Become less giving a shit about the day-to-day.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, my own day-to-day, I give a lot of shit about. But I mean, like, the sort of struggles of the world. I'm not saying that I'm not political or whatever. I still very much am. I think I've embraced the hopelessness of it in a way that I think is probably healthy.
No, that's fair. Like, that's fair.
I think it's probably healthy nihilism. Like, you know what?
I think a little bit of nihilism
I think after 20 years or so of running face first into brick wall time after time.
Yeah.
I think I've earned a little nihilistic sit on the couch time.
I think we can have some nihilism as a treat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's time.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to embrace that the world is ending and let's try to feather bed our way out of it a little bit.
Has my dog chosen this moment to have a stroke? Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Jesus, Lord. Anyway.
Joshy.
But yeah, I think some nihilism as a treat is fine.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I think I'm just, you know, thinking a lot about my boy Albert Camus.
Yeah.
Just
rolling that rock.
Yeah. And maybe not quite on the Sisyphus level, but maybe like on some other takeaways from his work.
That's the only life. Takeaway I ever remember about Camus, so.
Yeah, I mean, that is his most famous thing. But like, I don't know, just more the... embracing that maybe stop fucking licking yourself on microphone, dude. Jesus, it's really disgusting. These mics pick it up. I'm gonna leave that in.
He's just over there doing wet work.
Oh no, wet work.
He's got soft cries now. Anyway, sorry. I'm so sorry about my dog.
As I was saying.
Yes, about Camus.
I don't know. I lost that train of thought.
Oh my God, okay.
Just in embracing that, you know, like, you're not really going to do anything yourself. It's not really going to be, you're not moving that mountain.
Yeah.
That's not to say that you can't do anything, but I mean, Camus doesn't specifically say this part of it, but like, there's no mass movement coming around the corner that I can see. And if there is, I mean, there might be. This is the thing. Like, we live in really fucked up times.
Yeah,
we're definitely in the decades happening in weeks
yeah,
part of history right now. But like,
we're also a little bit out of touch at this point, I think.
I don't know that that's it. I still follow everything. I just don't feel the need to care about it as much.
I think maybe I might be. Yeah, no, I definitely still care and follow it. I think I'm a little less, I have a little bit less nihilism than you do when it comes to this stuff, just because I have to be careful with nihilism.
Well, nihilism is not pessimism. Those are different things.
No, but I also have to be careful with nihilism because it is an easily... It's easy for me to kind of just be like, you know, it's not like a bad thing, but I'm going to just stop everything.
It's easy for it to turn into...
Exactly.
Go to some dark places.
Yeah.
I'm already in those dark places, though.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like, and to be honest, I often feel a little more comfort when...
I'm going to actually kill my dog. Like, I'm going to cut the
skin off of him. Josh, lay down. Go lay down.
Come on, my
quicker than you're doing it.
Oh my god, he's like the
You know what? He's picking up that this has been happening for too long and we should probably just wrap it up. So let's just end on some unfinished thoughts because yeah. I don't care.
Okay, cool.
I'm still political. I still give a shit. I think my optimism has changed from a we're going to do the revolution to a I still believe that at the end of the day, probably after we're dead, humanity will find a way to survive whatever it is that's coming.
Yeah.
And it will be better.
Yeah.
I no longer believe that that's going to happen in a way that's going to benefit our generation in any way, shape, or form.
I don't think it'll benefit our generation.
We're the lost generation.
Yeah.
We're not going to experience... we might experience a lot of like positives in our personal lives that are great. We might end up having the great, happy, long lives, but... As a generation, societally, on the bigger picture, we're not. We're the lost generation. We're like the silent generation where we just like suffer through a bunch of shit and then die.
Yeah, no.
And then hopefully the next generations live a little better
exactly.
As a result of maybe some of the changes that...
This is one of the reasons that I want to have kids.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, no, I guess. But like, yeah, I don't know. I just... That's the kind of nihilism I'm sort of like accept. It's like acceptance. It's like a radical acceptance.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's totally fine, and I think that's a reasonable, you know, thing to think. Obviously,
yeah,
you know, but it's whatever. It's fine.
I think I'm having I'm definitely having an extended existential crisis over the last several months.
100%.
I think that is pretty safe to say. We live in a different fucking province.
Oh yeah, bud.
As a result of my existential crisis, but I think that
thanks for bringing me with you.
You're welcome. You wanted to come.
I was having my own existential crisis.
Yeah, you've been having it longer than I have, arguably.
Oh, buddy.
But I think that like
it's the second anniversary.
Like I might be up for a job. We won't say any details because Jesus Christ.
Wow, no.
But I might be up for it. Might be up for a job. Pretty soon, I'm probably not going to get it. But if I did, it would be life-changing money. Mm-hmm. It would solve, if not all of my... It won't solve all of my financial problems, but it solves the great many of them to the point where I don't really have to think about my finances on an hourly basis like I currently do.
Immediate financial problems, certainly.
Certainly, yes. Yeah. And it solves a lot of the long-term ones, too. The job itself... is one of the most detestable positions that I could be in outside of being a cop or a landlord.
I feel like he just gave it away.
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't give it away. That could be a lot of things.
Okay, that's true.
There's a lot of shitty fucking jobs out there. That's but true. Outside of being, I'm not going to be a cop. I'm not going to be a landlord, but it might be on the next tier of shitty.
Yeah.
But I'll make good money. I don't know how, it remains to be seen how long I'd be able to do it if I actually get the job, but thing is like, I just think at this point in my life, and this might be me giving up and this might be me selling out. I don't know. You call it whatever you want. I'm 37 years old and I have sacrificed my entire financial and physical well-being and emotional well-being for the cause. Capital T, capital C. Well,
the cause doesn't love you back.
It doesn't love you back.
No.
So
it never will.
For a little while. This job is not going to like affect anything on a grand scale. It's like me taking it or not taking it is not going to save or kill the world. And so I figure I'm just going to make some fucking money for a little bit.
If you
see how that feels and maybe it won't be so bad.
But if you think about it from a like an outside perspective of like, say, for instance, you know, you are living more comfortably. And when I mean, you know, when I say living more comfortably, I mean not actively like dying or getting evicted. Because that's about how much it's going to fix your life.
Right.
Is that you will just not be constantly panicking. You won't be thriving, but you won't be constantly panicking.
I think the amount of money that I think this job will offer, it, I can thrive on it.
Well, you can thrive on it because you're incredibly resourceful and you're used to being poor.
Right, but I think it, even for most people, it's like enough money you can kind of do okay.
Maybe I thought that it was a little bit lower, but either way,
it's even like better. From what I understand, it's like $60,000 to $65,000 a year, which is like
that's fine.
Good money.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good money.
But like, listen,
I've never made even I've barely made half of that in my life at any point.
The point that I'm making is that you being well rested and, you know, mentally stable.
Well, let's hold our horses on that one.
Well, that's why I'm saying
I'm just changing financial stress for the kind of stress of like, am I doing a job that I can actually live with myself?
Yes, but you being in that position makes it a lot better for everybody around you.
So okay, now we're treading close to the territory of giving up what it is. But
wait, really?
Yes. Oh. Let's not go any further.
Okay.
Because at least in the line of work, you're getting close to what the line of work might be.
Oh, no. No, I meant like me.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Now you're giving it away. Fuck.
Well, whatever. Who cares? I'm not using my real name.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
But anyway, it's a... Yeah, no, I mean like your friends and family. Like, you know, there will be a lot less stress for those folks as well. Because we won't be, A, worrying all the time or, you know...
worrying that I'm just going to yeet myself into the Bedford Basin?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm, well, I'm not fine, but I'm not going to eat myself in the Bedford Basin.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a thing. It also makes you more productive if you do, you know, want to get involved in more direct action, things like that. It makes you a lot more productive.
No, I can't. I can't be involved in anything with this. I would have to completely renounce myself from all political movements.
Could you not do it, Pat? Fuck it.
Nope. Nope, I could volunteer for political parties. That's about it, though. That would be the only way I could be political in ways that are mainstream. Okay,
well, that sounds terrible. That whole thing sounds.
I would not be able to show up to a strike line. I would not be able to show up to.
Oh no, you definitely couldn't do that.
I would not be able to show up to a rally. Yeah. I would not be able to do any of that.
Yeah.
I would have to like, I wouldn't be a union member.
Yeah.
I'd have to totally renounce myself from all political movements for a while. Which, again, I feel like I've done my time.
Also, I think this is a good move if you are given the opportunity. I think it's a good idea for you to take it.
For a while. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, for as long
and maybe it gets me something else. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like...
It's a good starting point, though.
I built my life around this idea that I was going to be this radical academic and that's how I was going to live with myself. Maybe not affect the world. I don't think I was ever quite that into the idea that I was going to change something, but I definitely thought... I can be a professor and live a radical lifestyle. Those two things are compatible and you can do them.
Yeah.
And it would make me enough money to pay my bills and pay off my student loans and whatever else. And that world came tumbling down. If I'm being honest, it was already on its way down before COVID, but COVID gave it the final push.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I haven't recovered since then.
Yeah.
I haven't had a purpose. I've sort of been wandering around without a purpose, and I am definitely someone who kind of needs a direction in order to feel okay.
Yeah.
I don't need money, but I need a direction.
Yeah.
I need to know what I'm doing and like how I'm doing it. and I don't have that, and I haven't had that since COVID. I've been completely out of my fucking mind.
Yeah.
Like in every possible conceivable way. I've actually lost my mind, I think. Is the way to put that.
I like that during that time is when we became friends and I was like, hey, we have a lot in common.
And we started this podcast.
Yeah.
Like this podcast was literally started as I don't know what else to do, so can we just fucking yell into microphones? Because nothing else works.
Yeah.
Everything else in my life is completely falling apart. I need something.
Yeah.
My Halifax is just
It's a crazy windstorm right now with snow and ice.
So I'm saying all this because like again, I'm probably not going to get this job, and I'm not just saying that to be pessimistic. I don't think there's a hell of a lot of chance I get it. All they have to do is Google search my name and I'm fucked.
Oh, 100%,
which they'll do.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'm getting it, but if I did, I think it would represent a pretty big and drastic change in my work life. And I think then you and the people who listen to this podcast would have to give me, I would still do this podcast, although I'd have to be a lot more clandestine about who I am in this city.
Yes, but I will also help keep you in check.
Yeah, you gotta keep me progressive.
Yeah, don't worry.
You gotta keep me on the proper side of things.
I'm good at that.
Because I'll be doing something that will challenge that.
Well, don't worry about it.
Every day.
I got you, boo.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Let's end this podcast.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, bye.
Get fucked. Go fuck the farts out of somebody.
Yeah, fart your fuck box. Wait, fuck your fart box? Fuck. Fuck your fart flaps?
Merry little cracks. Quick, merry little cracks.
Long, windy ones.
Long, windy ones. Fucking James Joyce, man.
Oh, lusty and farty.
Dirty, dirtier, dirtiest.
Jim. Oh, no.
Sorry I got, like, heavy at the end there.
No, that's okay.
I wanted to talk about that earlier, but yeah, it didn't happen.
Oh, that's okay.